As the program says, this is about the end of days. And I'm sure that in the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, we've all heard the world's coming to an end tomorrow or next week or the week after, or there's all kinds of people that are saying that the signs are there. It's nary time. You better get ready. You better get ready. It seems like they got a shouter from the rooftops before people ever listen, and then they get a few people to listen, and they get a lot of money, and then nothing happens. So that's about normal for that. I read an article entitled "The 12 Signs That We Are Very Near the End of the World." It was published a couple days ago, and of course, now this author gave biblical quotes to back up all of his 12 signs. I wanted to go through the first sign just to show you what kind of hypocrisy this was. He said the growth of knowledge would accelerate at the end of time, fulfilling prophecy. And he quoted Daniel 12:4, which said, "A well-known prophecy in Daniel pertaining to the end of time is being fulfilled in our time." Daniel wrote, "Knowledge shall increase, and men shall run to and fro." You know, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of doctrines concerning death, the end of the world, the second coming, the resurrection of the dead, and the final judgment. Yes, there is an increase in knowledge in the world. But why is there an increase in knowledge? I would say that television, our computers, our laptops, and those funny things that we hold in our hands too often, cell phones, it seems like we are never away from knowledge. You can Google anything, and you can find out a bunch of stuff. Unfortunately, if somebody Googles something about Christ or the Bible or God, about 95% of that's wrong, or it's not told correctly. The hundreds and thousands of misguided and misinformed prognosticators have learned to please the masses and not please God. These speculators, for the most part, are just highly misguiding people, and for the most part, for money. In 2 Timothy 2:16 through 18, we are reminded, "Shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some." The holy inspired word of God gives us the truth about the end of days. The end of days that only God Almighty knows the date. We don't know. Christ said he didn't know. He didn't know when he was coming. He said only the Father knows. And yet, people claim to be able to tell us when he's coming. We know from the Holy Word what's not going to happen before that day or on that day. Jesus will not establish an earthly kingdom. 1 Corinthians 15:24, 26 tells us, "Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God, the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death." We know that there will be no secret rapture where the righteous are taken from the earth alone. John 5, 28, 29 dispels that. John wrote, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." And he continued, and in Revelations 1, 7, it says, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. All the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen." We know from the scriptures there will not be a millennium. Listen to the words of Peter in 2 Peter 3:10 through 12. He said, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and elements will melt with fervent heat. I think you'll agree that that Christ is not going to be on the earth for 1,000 years because of one reason: there won't be an earth. He's also not going to put his feet back on this. He's not ever going to step his feet on earth. And we're told that in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. It says, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord," verifying that he will never set his foot on this earth. There won't be an earth for him to have a millennium. There won't be an earth for him to put his foot on. What does God tell us that will happen at the end of days? We know that Jesus will be revealed from heaven, and he'll return with angels. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 says, "And to give you who are troubled rest with this, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." And also in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 it says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." You can see how the Word of God dispels those things that those who would think us, make us think that things are happening now, or things are going to happen for years and years and years, and Christ's going to be on earth reigning. We can show people from the Holy Word that that's not going to happen. We know that there will be a resurrection of the dead, as we read before in John 5:28-29. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, we know that those alive will be changed. But listen to what Paul says about that in 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Paul says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will raise an incorruptible, and we shall be changed." The earth and the universe will be destroyed. We read that in 2 Peter 3:10-11. The righteous and the unrighteous will be judged and separated. This is explained very plainly in 2 Corinthians 5:10, where it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." And if that is not plain enough, look at the word of Matthew 25:31-33. Matthew wrote, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left." Sheep on the right hand, goats on his left. What does that mean? Malachi says in chapter 3, verse 18, "Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked." That's what that means. We're told that the faithful will be given entrance into heaven. Matthew 25:34 is written, "And the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" And we're told that the unfaithful will be cast into hell and punished forever, as Matthew wrote in 25:41. "And he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Which is reinforced in Revelations 20:15. where we're told, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So we know what's not going to happen. We know what's going to happen. What do we do before the end of days? How do we prepare? We need to be holy. We need to be godly. We need to be diligent. We need to be peaceable, pure, blameless, cautious, steadfast. And we need to be growing, not only in our spirit, but our knowledge and understanding of the Word. Peter gives us words to live by in 2 Peter 3:11 through 14, where it is written, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening, the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, in which the righteous will dwell. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent, be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless." And add to this verse 17 and 18 from 2 Peter. "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever." We need to be righteous to abandon sin. We learn this in Isaiah 3:10 through 11 and 1 Peter 1:17. We have to believe there's not much time. Hebrews 2:1 through 3 and 2 Peter 3:3 through 10 tells us that. We have to believe we have a choice over where we will spend eternity. But only if we decide before the end of days. When the trumpet sounds, it's way too late. That fateful day will already be here, and if you're not prepared, you will be judged that way. Revelation 6, 15 through 7, plus Revelation 22, 1 through 7, and 22, 12 through 14 tells us those things. You see, the Holy Word of God gives all mankind the guidance we need to be ready for the end of days. And unfortunately, too many of our human brothers and sisters don't read the Holy Scripture or choose to believe opinions, teachings, and doctrines of men who twist the Scriptures, or they're affected by the peer pressures of family, of friends, worldly life, making them ignore the Word, which instructs so plainly about the fate of all of our souls. I came across an anonymous poem that asks a very pointed question, and I'd like to read that. "Have you ever stopped to wonder what this life is all about? Why you're here and where you're going when your lease on time runs out? Maybe you've been far too busy trying hard to reach your goal. Would you let me ask you a question? Have you thought about your soul? You may reach the highest portals. Your dreams may all come true. Wealth and fame may be your portion, and success may shine on you. All your friends may sing your praises. Not a care on you may roll. What about the great tomorrow? Have you thought about your soul? Don't forget your days are numbered, though you may be riding high. But like all us poor mortals, someday you'll just up and die. Your success and fame and glory won't be worth the bell you toll. Let me ask you just one question. Have you thought about your soul? If you've never thought it over, spend a little time today. There's nothing more important that'll ever come your way than the joys of sins forgiven and to know you've been made whole in the name of Christ the Savior. Have you thought about your soul?" If your soul is at a point where you have lost your way and you feel that you just cannot get back to being a Christian that you want to be, maybe tonight's the night for you to stand up and let us pray for you. If you've read the Bible, if you know the scriptures and know what we've just talked about, that you have little time, because God knows that fateful day. If you have not made the decision to become a child of God, think about your soul. Whatever you need, why don't you come now while we stand and while we sing.